Hello. Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to the program tonight. Glad you could stop on by. Stick around for a while. We'll have a good time, sailor. Former Secretary of State and four-star general and former chairman of the Joint Chiefs and Secretary of Defense. And was he Secretary of Defense? I think he was. All that stuff. Colin Powell is in deep doo-doo. I'm just wondering how long it'll be before Colin Powell apologizes to the pig man, to Rush Limbaugh. Powell said the other day that he believed the Republican Party is in what he calls deep trouble and getting smaller and being led by polarizing figures like Sarah Palin and Rush Limbaugh. General Powell said further that the party must realize that, quote, Americans do want to pay taxes for services, end quote. Of Limbaugh specifically, Powell said, quote, I think what Rush does as an entertainer diminishes the party and intrudes or inserts into our public like a kind of nastiness that we would be better to do without, end quote. The entertainer? Well, I don't disagree with anything Colin Powell said there except the entertainment bit. Rush Limbaugh's not an entertainer. He's a filthy Nazi propagandist. He's of the Joseph Goebbels mold. He's a liar. He's a drug addict. Should have been a convicted felon. He should be in prison somewhere for what he did with his illegal drug usage. You know, if he wants to smoke a joint or something, that's all right by me. But to send your housekeeper out to score pharmaceuticals from, you know, somebody on the street who, rolls the window down a crack and says, slide the money in, baby. You know, I mean, that's why Limbaugh's a pig. Just that among other reasons, just a pig. But today, then, on his radio show, Limbaugh responded by calling Powell, quote, just another liberal, end quote. No, that doesn't work anymore, big man. Liberal is a good word now, you dumbass. Limbaugh said Powell should, quote, close the loop and leave the Republican Party. And Limbaugh reiterated his previous claim that, you know, the only reason Colin Powell endorsed Obama was because of the race thing. So Limbaugh got his ginormous triple XL boxers in a wad because Colin Powell said it was time for the GOP to move closer to the center and stop following nutbags like Limbaugh. Here's what Limbaugh said in response.
Email people here at the studio. When are you going to talk about Colin Powell? Folks, I don't care. I don't care what Colin Powell says. This kind of stuff is said about me three times a day by liberals under the sun. And Colin Powell is just another liberal. He did this back in December, and I responded to it then. If you want to know what this is all, Colin Powell's out there saying the American people want more taxes, they want bigger government. He's out there saying, I am killing the Republican Party, while he endorsed and voted for Obama. Republican Party nominated the exact kind of candidate Colin Powell thinks the Republican Party should have, and he still endorsed Obama. He's just mad at me because I'm the one person in the country that had the guts to explain his endorsement of Obama.
Oh.
It was purely and solely based on race.
Yeah!
There can be no other explanation for it.
Right!
And what Colin Powell needs to do is close the loop and become a Democrat. Instead of claiming to be a Republican interested in reforming the Republican Party. He's not.
Oh, what is he?
He's a full-fledged Democrat. The only reason to endorse Obama is race. I don't think Powell thinks he can get away with not endorsing Obama because the Republicans nominated the exact candidate and had the exact campaign other than Sarah Palin that Colin Powell advocated. So I don't care.
You lump of wasted ectoplasma, whatever the hell you are. Oh, my God. I'm the one person in the country that had the guts to explain Paul's endorsement of Obama. Race. What a sick man. But, you know, Colin Powell had either the decency, or maybe he doesn't understand, to define Limbaugh as an entertainer. You know, people say, well, you know, why do you play Limbaugh in your program? Because, I'll tell you why, because Limbaugh has elevated himself to a folk figure, folk, F-O-L-K, in the society. He spent 20-some years getting himself to that point. He's a hoax, a myth, a fraud, a liar, a filthy, hypocritical son of a bitch. And as long as he has 2 million listeners a week, as he claims, we will just continue to hammer away at him. And don't spare me. You right-wingers that listen to the program, spare me the emails that point out that Rush Limbaugh makes $50 million a year, and I'm not even breaking even yet. You know, I don't care. Like Limbaugh says, I don't care. All right, I just don't care. If that's the basis on which you geek balls determine who you listen to, their money, how much they make, God help you. I mean, really, idiots. Now, this comes from Crooks and Liars website. Remember the other day, a little snip of video that was all around the place of Obama and Biden stopping at a hamburger joint to have a hamburger? Remember that? You remember that, Kathy? Did you see that video? Just a couple of guys happened to be the president and vice president of the United States, and they had with them, you know, this whole press entourage and Secret Service. But still, when you remove all that, just a couple of guys go in for a hamburger. No, 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 no. Not if you're a right-wing nutbag like Hannity or Laura Ingraham or the rest of these idiots. And this is why right-wing talk show hosts, like I pointed out on my mini-blog today at MikeMalloy.com, why they're both a threat to America and a joke. This is what Crooks and Liars had. Following Obama's May 5th visit to Ray's Hellburger in Arlington, Virginia, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and Rush Limbaugh, guest host Mark Stein, criticized Obama as an elitist because he ordered a burger with spicy mustard! Dijon mustard! Oh, God! Hannity claimed that Obama ordered a fancy burger with a very special condiment. While Stein asserted Obama is trying to enlighten us through his order. Oh, God. Laura Ingraham asked of rhetorically asked of Obama, quote, what kind of man orders a cheeseburger without ketchup but with Dijon mustard? The guy orders a cheeseburger without ketchup. What is that? End quote. In their discussions of Obama's burger order, Hannity, Ingraham, and Stein all referenced a Grey Poupon commercial featuring actors portraying wealthy British men expressing desires for the mustard. Oh, my God. Now, here, that Art sent that in. Thanks, Art. Now, the weird part is, it's not that this is, like this takes the listeners to these freak bastards, out to the edge. No, no, no. When right-wing radio listeners hear this kind of stuff, they want to know tell us more. What else did he do? Did the son of a bitch drink Perrier? How do you say that word? Water? Did he drink that water in the sparkle green bottle? Did he drink that too? See, I told you he's a goddamn foreigner, communist, Libyan, Muslim, French, whatever.
Do you remember when Candy Crowley had a conniption because John Kerry ordered the cheese steak with Swiss cheese? And she went on and on about basically who did he think he was ordering it with Swiss cheese on it? Was he French? I mean, and it became this huge. What is it? Now, Bush can eat peanut butter
bugs.
And honey.
He
honey
can eat
sandwiches.
Bugs.
I love my cheeseburger pizza. And that's acceptable. The man eats toddler food, and that's okay. But let our president order spicy mustard.
Spicy mustard!
And he's a commie.
Oh, my God, spicy mustard! And people wonder why this filthy Republican Party is dying. Somebody, please, take the party into a field and murder it. On second thought, no. Let it keep doing this. This is great. This is good stuff. Brainwash you while you're sleeping, while in your traffic jam. Brainwash you while you're weeping, while still a baby in your prime. Brainwash by the military, brainwashed under duress. Brainwashed by the media, you're brainwashed by the press. Brainwashed by computer, brainwashed by mobile.
conservatives. Don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. What other kind of weirdness have we got from these right-wing nutballs today? Oh, yeah, Joe the Plumber. Have you heard about him? He's leaving the Republican Party. I mean, no, who wants to stay? Right? It's going to get down to where we get, you know, it's going to be Sarah Palin, the pig man, Rush Limbaugh, Hannity, and I don't know who, Laura Ingraham, and who's the tall, skinny author? Oh, yeah, Ann Coulter. This is from New York Magazine. New York Magazine, not New Yorker, New York Magazine. Is there any reason to cover the ongoing shenanigans of Joe the Plumber, who, after all, is just some guy? Not really, but it's fun, so why the hell not? That's a good lead. I like that. Today, word broke that Mr. Plumber, you see, is leaving the Republican Party. So you know that filthy collection of idiots is dying when they can't hold on to either moderates or right-wing bigots. They can't hold on to anybody except the really crazy ones. The real crazy people will stay. But as New York Magazine says, the Republicans can at least take heart in the fact that Joe's reasons for leaving, not surprisingly, are pretty illogical. But that defines the Republican Party. In a new Time magazine story, Joe says he's, quote, outraged by Republican overspending. It's his words, Republican overspending, despite the fact that the entire party, every one of them, voted against both the stimulus package and Obama's budget. All of them. But this dumbass says, well, I'm leaving the Republican Party because they overspend. They overspend. Oh, my God. Okay, so Joe really wants to cut spending, it says here in New York Magazine. New York. So much so that just voting against him would suffice. He also said he wouldn't support any cuts in defense. He would support no cuts in Social Security, which he once referred to as a joke that he's never believed in. He wouldn't support any cuts in Medicare. He wouldn't support any cuts in Medicaid, despite well-known opposition to spreading the wealth around. He wouldn't support any cuts in the defense budget. Okay. All right. Well, let's wish Joe the best of luck finding a new party that supports his unique principle of drastically cutting government spending while keeping most government spending untouched. Well, oh, my God. I mean, you're just like Limbaugh. He's starting to define the term toxic, narcissistic megalomaniac. He really is. Now it's down to the point where the only reason Colin Powell votes for Barack Obama is because Rush defined him as a racist. And the only reason Colin Powell is saying those truthful things about me is because Colin Powell is angry because Limbaugh is the only man in America who had the guts to point out that Powell only voted for Obama because he's black. I mean, this is beyond insanity. We're getting into committable comments now from so many of these suckers on the right. I mean, really committable. When you have a group of Republican leaders put together something called the National Council for a New America, and you have their spokesmen out, and they're pretty much all men. You have a spokesman out there saying stuff like this. This is a National Council for a New Commitment hearing. That's what it is. These people have got to be locked up. And as David in Denea, Florida writes, Mike, after over 20 years of spewing lies and half-truths and trying to divide our country, I also think Rush has achieved absolutely nothing. The Republicans have the same numbers they had when Jimmy Carter was president. I love seeing the so-called grand old party implode. Rush is wasting his time, and he's too brain dead to see it. Your loyal listener, David, from Denea, Florida. Yeah, it really is astonishing stuff. I say keep it going. Let it bleed, you know, keep flowing. I just hope everybody on the right, on the political right in this country, just continues. I love to see the gush of precious body fluids spewing out of their pulse points every time they open their mouths. It is wonderful to watch. Never get in the way of your avowed enemy when he is trying to cut his own throat. As a matter of fact, offer to sharpen the blade if he needs it. It's really, really something, isn't it? All right, we have a break coming. We're going to move on from the insanity now into the more serious aspects of what occurred today, some of the events that occurred today. El Presidente Barack Obama is really treading close to letting progressives know that he is not, never was, and shall not be their man. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Taking scissors to play with the black folk down in Florida, colored pens and for sexing up the I'm the someone who knew they're not telling pre-September. I lean on in the loop to help them unremember. I was flying on UA-93. That shadow in the footage, it was probably me. I'm the rumor, I'm the doubt, I'm the lie. But you wouldn't stand near me if you didn't want to die. Everything you know is wrong. There's a verse missing out of this song. Everything you know is wrong. Wrong.
Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk. And I love the way you talk. When you walk that walk. And you talk that talk.
You notch me. Renegade out. Talk radio done right. From the feet. Left. It's Mike Malloy.
Boom, 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 boom. Bang, bang, bang.
25 before the hour. Boom, 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 boom. Perhaps you, like me, or like I, what is it, are getting tired of the broken promises, appear to be broken promises, things that Obama said during the campaign that he's now backing away from. For example, the needle exchange program. That's a good example. Huh? Let's start with that and work our way up. How does that sound? In the budget that he released Thursday, as Ryan Grimm reports at Huffington Post, he takes a step backward from a controversial political position he had taken during the presidential campaign. Back then, he pledged his support of needle exchange programs to slow the spread of HIV/AIDS. Just about every medical doctor, every scientist in the country has said that this makes perfect sense. People who are addicted to drugs and do it IV, and use needles are spreading disease, not just HIV/AIDS, but also, the other drug that is spread from dirty needles. What is it again? Hepatitis. Yeah. And the quickest way to stop that, since you cannot really, unless you're willing to round up every single addict in the country and put him or her into close observation quarantine while they detox, and of course we're not going to do that. That's too expensive, and too many people would die probably in that process. So what do? You do the utilitarian thing, and you say, okay. Here are free needles. You're going to shoot up anyway. Here, just come and get these needles so you don't spread a disease. And as I said, just about every medical person in the country, whether they're nurses or doctor's assistants or doctors or nurse practitioners, it doesn't make any difference. People who deal with this kind of medicine will tell you that this idea makes perfect sense. And the idea that Barack Obama has taken this part of the budget and tossed it somewhere is pretty astonishing. When he took over the White House, The Obama administration website said the following, quote, the president also supports lifting the federal ban on needle exchange, which could dramatically reduce rates of infection among drug users, end quote. Now, this ban was put in place, of course, by the crazy bastard George Bush after mucho pressure from really nice Christians around the country who truly believe that AIDS is God's punishment to the queers. So don't interfere with God's will, that sort of thing. Oh, and it encourages drug use. Yes, nobody who is on drugs is going to say in the real world, not in the right-wing Christian evangelical nutball world, but in the real world, no one who is not on drugs is going to say, you know what, I think I want to start using needles to inject myself with heroin and all sorts of other stuff, methamphetamine, and I want them to be dirty needles because I am going to fulfill God's will, and God obviously said, let's murder all the queers. I mean, this is insanity. This is down this road, you will find Concerned Women for America. You will find Project for a New American Century. You will find all these right-wing psychopaths clustered together, playing with themselves and trying to figure out brand new ways to interfere with morality, ethical behavior, science, reality, logic. Jesus, these people never stop. After having had that comment on his website, Obama's budget includes language that bans spending federal money on needle exchange programs. Now, a spokesman for the White House, somebody named Ben LaBolt, said the administration isn't yet ready to lift that ban put there by George Bush, but Barack Obama still supports needle exchange. He does. He really does. Cross my fingers. Cross my heart. Honest to God, he does. Mr. LaBolt said, quote, we have not removed the ban in our budget proposal because we want to work with Congress and the American public to build support for this change. We are committed to doing this as part of a national HIV/AIDS strategy and are confident that we can build support for these scientifically based programs, end quote. Build support? Build support? Does that mean have focus groups that are convened to for you guys to decide how much damage it would do to Barack Obama's re-election bid because the country is being eaten alive by right-wing trolls? Is that what you mean, really, Mr. LaBolt? I think that's what it means. But this guy added, quote, in recent years, Washington has used the budget process to litigate divisive issues and score political points. This practice, which both sides have engaged in, has limited our ability to tackle our major economic challenges. President Obama decided not to play politics as usual with this budget, and while he remains committed to supporting the program, he wants to address that through the normal legislative process, end quote. Okay. You want to address a disease issue, an issue that has very clear delineation between, do you want to spread disease, do you want to not spread disease? And the Obama administration wants to leave that up to the legislative process? Really? Let's vote on whether or not we like cancer. Let's leave that up to the legislative process. I'll tell you what, let's let the legislative process define diabetes. This insanity, you see, has crept into, apparently, the Obama administration. He must have advisors around him. You know, Obama is pretty ballsy on so many issues. He really does state his case and move forward. But on some of these issues, who's got his ear? Who is telling him, tread lightly here because you're going to piss off the Christian evangelicals and the Republicans? The Christian evangelicals and the Republicans are murderous sons of bitches who don't care a thing about the country or the 80% of this country who do not share their beliefs. So to hell with them. Move on. I honest to God don't get this. I don't get it. The White House website no longer features the president's support of this needle exchange program. A spokesman for the group Law Enforcement Against Prohibition says, quote, "It's hard to imagine how removing mention of support for a proven life-saving program from the White House website is part of a grand strategy to build support for syringe exchange," end quote. It's pretty crazy stuff, isn't it? Now, on the other hand, you see, that'll probably score points, whether intended or not, with the right-wing, evangelical, crazy, Christ-hating nutbags out there. It probably will, but this one's going to piss him off. Obama has made some changes about National Prayer Day. You know, in the first place, National Prayer Day is wholly owned and operated by the evangelical Christian crazy people in this country, most prominently led by Shirley Dobson, who is the chairwoman of the National Day of Prayer Task Force. If her name sounds familiar, that's because she is the spouse of James Dobson, recently of Focus on the Family, a Christian right-wing group that is murderous in its attitude, destructive in its intent, and filled up to the breaking point with a bunch of people that Jesus would look at and turn his back on. But what Obama has done, you see, well, let me back up. Bush used to hold these formal events in the White House every year to mark National Day of Prayer, right? Just the kind of public display that Jesus warned against. You know, Jesus as in Christ, as in Christian. He warned against this. He said, when you want to talk to my Father, go into your closet, shut the door, be quiet. But these fake evangelical Christians who want to display their moral superiority with their crazed belief system have decided that Obama's plans this year, which include a private observance. Remember when religion used to be private? Remember when religion was not used as a litmus test for everything from a Supreme Court justice to a president? Remember those? It wasn't that long ago. If you're under the age of 80, you remember those days. Oh, God. You'll pardon the expression. We'll be back in a minute because there's more of this. I got to tell you what Obama's going to do and what the nutballs are labeling him as.
Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy.
Yeah, well, why not? You know, you got to let it out. So the National Prayer Day, why is there any government observation of such a thing anyway? It is against the teachings of Jesus. It is against logic and common sense if you are not a believer. Let's all turn our heads pointing towards the earth and think, and then we'll pretend like the thoughts waft up to some cloud being. Okay, if somebody wants to do that, that's all right. If you want to worship a chair every third Thursday, go ahead. But why expect the entire country to pause while you worship your chair? It really doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? Unless you're insane. So what Barack Obama has done this year, unlike Bush, he's opted for a private observance and the issuance of a public or an official proclamation. In the proclamation, Obama takes, oh no, an ecumenical tack. Oh no! He doesn't even mention the nation's Judeo-Christian heritage. Oh my God, so to speak. So what does this atheistic, Muslim, communist, Buddhist, psycho, freak, president advocate in his proclamation? Well, he emphasizes compassion, which is a code word for let the queers get married, right? Huh? He emphasizes compassion. He thanks the service of members of the military. He cites what the proclamation calls the one law that binds all great religions together, the golden rule, and it's called to love one another, to understand one another, and to treat with dignity and respect those with whom we share a brief moment on this earth. End quote. Well, there's your proof. He's the Antichrist. There it is. There it is! The proclamation goes on to say, our world grows smaller by the day, and our varied beliefs can bring us together to feed the hungry and comfort the afflicted, to make peace where there is strife, and to lift up those who have fallen on hard times. The Antichrist! He goes on to say, quote, I call upon America to pray in thanksgiving for our freedoms and blessings and to ask for God's continued guidance, grace, and protection for this land that we love, end quote. Oh, no. Shirley Dobson, chairwoman of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, issued immediately a statement in rebuttal. She said, quote, we are disappointed in the lack of participation by the Obama administration. At this time in our country's history, we would hope our president would recognize more fully the importance of prayer. You see, Shirley Dobson is a demon. She has to be. I mean, it was these people who created hell and demons, wasn't it? Well, we are disappointed, she says, in the lack of participation by the Obama administration. Of course, logic or reason would dictate that someone ask Shirley Dobson a simple question. How in the heck do you know what his participation would be? How do you know? And Shirley Dobson would say, well, because he's not making it public, he's probably in the basement of the White House, sacrificing a goat and collecting the blood in some kind of a inverted cross cup and drinking it while he chants in Arabic. Oh, wait a minute. That was Cheney. However, other religious groups praised Barack Obama for dialing back the observance and accused Shirley Dobson's task force of trying to exclude non-Christians. Reverend C. Walton Gaddy, president of the Interfaith Alliance, said in a statement, quote, it is a shame that the National Day of Prayer Task Force seems to think it owns the National Day of Prayer, end quote. Gaddy added, quote, once again, the task force is misrepresenting the purpose of this national observance. President Obama is not the pastor-in-chief of the nation, and Shirley Dobson's task force is not the spiritual judge of the president's personal or official actions, end quote. Well, yes, Reverend Gaddy, that's true. But if you were truly interested in ecumenism, Reverend, you would demand that such a phony observance be ended. a national day of prayer, and listen to the religious freaks fighting. Now, you won't hear any, as far as I know, you won't hear any Muslims or Jews screaming about this. The Hindus have bowed out. The Buddhists couldn't care less. But it's these Christians ripping each other's throats to pieces over the issue of prayer. Oh, my. Well, I guess that speaks volumes, along with other things, about these phony religion mongers. When we come back after the break, one of our listeners, Elaine, sent me a rather interesting email that I'm going to share with you, and then we shall move on with the program. Stick around, okay? I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. Just talking before the break about the insanity about the National Day of Prayer. In the first place, there should not be such a beast loose on the land. There really shouldn't. This reminds me of these crazy right-wing, mostly Christian women who screamed and wet their drawers over the idea that Madeleine Murray O'Hare petitioned the Supreme Court and got prayer removed from the public schools, which is insane. It's total nonsense. And I've been saying this for years on this program or variations of this program. Anyone who wants to pray in school can do so. Anybody. Now, if there came a time, and I believe this, even though I'm a full-blown cast-in-iron atheist, if there came a time when some government of the United States, right-wing for sure, proclaimed that nobody could pray, yeah, I'd be one of the first to take up a gun and join the ranks and overthrow that particular government. Of course I would. Are you out of your mind? Because that's thought control. Anyone who wants to pray or send up imaginary messages to a cloud being is entitled to do that. But prayer was never taken out of the public schools. You know what was? What was taken out of the public schools is government-directed prayer. That's all. Now, most people who understand the language that we all share in this country, most people who understand logic or even a little bit, you know, you don't have to be a logician to get that. Anyone who understands how the Christian faith was established, what its avatar Jesus said about prayer, all those people understand that these morons who are demanding public displays and publicly ordered prayer are just that, morons, and shy away from them. Elaine writes, I have a splitting headache right now, most likely caused by trying to figure out why these religious fanatics, read right-wing nut Christians, have ramped up their proselytizing, and in areas such as where I live, seemingly completely ignoring so-called Christian ethics, also known as Christ's teachings, advocating violence, civil war in this country. Okay, this lady who had been helping me with laundry on occasion, a strict Roman Catholic, she calls herself, upon entering my apartment last fall, saw a poster of Obama that my son had sent me. She turned around and practically went running out the door. This is number one for these people. Obama equals the Antichrist. And it's obviously not just evangelical Christians spouting this anymore. After trying to save me for months now, over the phone, of course, Jerry, let's call her, finally told me what's going on. Apparently, Obama's whole peaceful demeanor is the proof that he's the Antichrist, and that when he gave the speech on nuclear disarmament, that was their absolute proof moment. They also go into other descriptions in Revelation that apparently make this crystal clear and without a doubt. This, she said, is why we are trying to spread the word and save as many people as possible. With the assistance of movies like the one she gave me this morning, they feel that we are definitely on the precipice of the apocalypse. I found a copy on the net. You really have to see it to believe it, pun intended. The title is The Seven Signs of the Apocalypse. You see, God has caused the earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and sicknesses to punish and wake us up. And yes, Katrina was punishment for New Orleans' sinful ways. This crap is not just relegated to a small fringe group anymore. It's obviously now Christian faith wide. Global warming? Nope, not man-made. It's foreseen in Revelation. Therefore, we're apparently not supposed to do anything about it. However, they honestly think that if they can save enough people in the military, bring them over to their side, you might say, that they might have a chance in defeating the Antichrist, also known as President Barack Obama. Jerry says they are showing this film and some other ones that apparently prove without a doubt that Obama is the Antichrist. Obama's refusal to honor their day of prayer, according to Jerry, is bringing people into the flock as they've never seen before. These wackos are insistent on bringing this country and everyone in it down so their Messiah can come riding in and sweep them up to heaven. Despite the long history of these nuts consistently calling for the end, this time is very different because of Obama. And the things going on in the Middle East. Yeah, I know. The Middle East fighting has gone on for ages, but they've never had anyone who so fits their Bible. If I thought I could have gotten away with it, I would have destroyed their damn movie. Unfortunately, I'm afraid that the locals might not look upon that too kindly, and I have enough problems around here as it is. Time for Tylenol and a pain pill. If I only drank alcohol. Elaine. P.S. Mike, Jerry called me just after I sent you that email. She wanted to let me know that she spoke to her priest about me tonight. She apparently mentioned the fact that my degree in microbiology, or is in microbiology, and that I did an externship with an infectious disease specialist when I was in medical school. Just to let you and Kathy know. The swine flu is Obama's way of testing our mettle in preparing the releasing of avian flu on us in the fall. Holy shiite. She says that Obama is trying to, quote, reduce the number of dissidents, end quote, so there won't be as many, quote, Christians left to try and fight him, end quote. Insanity? Come up here and stay for a few days. Elaine. Still stuck in the Poconos. Oh, Lord have mercy! Who funds this National Day of Prayer observation? Is that taxpayer funded? I don't know. What is it? Is that the Gordon in Oklahoma wants to know? Mike, isn't taxpayer support of all the various religious activities, including the National Day of Prayer, also the same as socialized religion? Yep. That's what it is, socialized religion. Oh, now Elaine's got the headache. I've got it now. Jeez. Oh. The New York Times was reporting today about the FBI incorrectly keeping nearly 24,000 people on a terrorist watch list. Incorrectly, 24,000 people on this terrorist watch list. Terrorist watch list. The list is comprised on the basis of outdated or sometimes irrelevant information. At the same time, the geniuses at the FBI who put this together are missing people with real ties to terrorism who should have been on the list. That's according to a Justice Department report released yesterday. I mean, as long as we're going to have lists of suspected terrorists, we might as well have people on there who might really, truly, honestly, deeply qualify, wouldn't you think? The report says the mistakes pose a risk to national security because of the failure to flag actual terrorism suspects and an unnecessary nuisance to people who really shouldn't be on the list. In the form of weird questions at traffic stops or being kept from boarding airplanes and so on and so on and so on. By the beginning of 2009, the report said, this consolidated government watch list comprised of about 400,000 people and recorded as 1.1 million names and aliases, an exponential growth from the days before the attacks of September 11, 2001. Among the list's uses is the screening of people entering the country. An intelligence official say it has allowed agencies to work together to prevent the type of breakdown that allowed two of the September 11th hijackers to get into the U.S., even though they were known to the CIA for their terrorist ties. Ah, but there's more. Stay with us. The politics of panic would invite.
Here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
Twenty-two past the hour. Now, remember when a report was released by Homeland Security regarding right-wing operatives and potential terrorists who might try to commit terror in this country. Remember, it was a couple of weeks ago, and one of the categories are people returning from combat. And I mentioned this today also at MikeMalloy.com on the blog. But the right wingers immediately jumped all over Barack Obama and accused him of denigrating and belittling our soldiers. And yet, you know, when you stop and think Lee Harvey Oswald, or you stop and think, the one who blew up the Murrah Federal Building, Timothy McVeigh, you know, they're both veterans. And, So the fact that the Justice Department found that the FBI's list was crazy because so many people were on it who don't belong on it, and so many people were not on it who do regarding domestic terror. For example, The inspector general looked at a sampling of 216 FBI terrorism investigations and found that in 15% of them, a total of 35 subjects were not referred to the list, even though they should have been. For example, in one case, a special forces soldier was investigated and ultimately convicted of stealing some 16,500 rounds of ammunition, C4 explosives, and other military material from Afghanistan, and shipping them to the United States in what investigators suspected might be the making of a domestic terrorist plot. Yet this particular guy was not placed on the watch list until nearly 5 months after the investigation opened. I mean, what constitutes an incipient or potential terrorist in this country? Could it possibly be somebody who's been fried from combat and who sends home nearly 17,000 rounds of ammunition and C4 explosives and other stuff that goes boom and kills people from a war zone? Could that be possibly, huh? We all know that the crazy right, the skinheads, these jumpy little jackasses in their camos that run around in the woods and plot all sorts of counter-revolution, we know that they like to reach their hands into the military and snatch. They're body snatchers. Most of these people are goddamn cowards. They would no more put on the uniform and go to a combat zone than they would pee up a rope. But they know that people who have been, maybe several deployments in a combat zone, are very, very vulnerable to their kind of neo-Nazi suggestion. Of course they are. Now, the fact that these wars were started by the Christian George Bush is immaterial. The fact that so many Democrats, apparently not the ones in power, but so many Democrats want to end this madness is immaterial. The right-wing crazies in this country, whether it's religious or political or a blend of the two, which it most normally is or abnormally is, they don't care about any of the, you know, don't confuse them with facts. But they reach into the ranks of the enlisted, the ranks of the grunts, the people on the ground, the people who are putting their lives out there every day for corporate America, and they whisper in their ears and fill them with propaganda, send them stuff in the mail or on websites. Hey, gather up a bunch of ammunition and C4 explosive and send it home. Send it home because when you get back, we have a job for you. It just gets crazier and crazier. The Inspector General of the Justice Department said, quote, "We believe that the FBI's failure to consistently nominate subjects of international and domestic terrorism investigations to the terrorist watch list could pose a risk to national security." End quote. The director of the Washington Legislative Office of the ACLU said her group's monitoring of watch lists indicate that the problems identified at the FBI were endemic to the entire system. So, you know, if another big boom comes in this country, it's not going to be from people who speak a different language or have a different skin color. You know that as well as I do. It's going to be somebody or a group of somebodies inspired by these right-wing nutballs to, you know, get even with the liberals and the progressives and the Democrats and the queers and the atheists and the people who believe in peace and justice.
Come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. How you doing? You okay? Everybody doing all right tonight? Huh? What about poor old Arlen Specter, who had his seniority on committee stripped from him, I think Tuesday night when he, that was a week after he quit the Republican Party and joined the Democrats. Which is a good move on the part of the Democrats. I wouldn't trust Arlen Specter as far as I can throw him, except for the fact that he was completely honest when he said, I'm switching parties because I can't win the primary, the Republican primary, and I don't want to give up 30 years or 38 years, however long he's been in government. What the hell could he do? He's not trained to do anything, is he? He used to be a Democrat, and then he became a Republican in 1980, and he's, I think it was 80, and he's now he's going back to his roots. Now, it was a real shock to Arlen. He said that Harry Reid, the majority leader, had assured him that Specter, that he would retain his seniority in the Senate and on the five committees of which he serves, but not going to be the choice, or not going to be the situation. No. A spokesman for Harry Reid said this is all going to be negotiated next Congress. That means they want to see how he fares in the upcoming election. I think he made a big mistake. I really do. He ought to be an independent, and I think Olympia Snow and Susan Collins ought to become independents too. The Democratic Party, as it is constituted right now at its leadership level, is pretty much the corporate center-right party in this country. And yes, it is the party of big government. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But if Republicans like Susan Collins and Olympia Snow and Arlen Specter, if they really are sick and tired of being sick and tired by being in the Republican Party, they ought to leave and don't become a Democrat. They'll become an independent. Huh? Right? You think? No? Okay. Never mind. What else we got here? Maine's governor signed a freshly passed bill yesterday approving gay marriage, making it the fifth state to approve this, and moving New England, New England, closer to allowing same-sex marriage throughout the region. What about that? New Hampshire legislators are poised to send a gay marriage bill to their governor. He hasn't indicated whether he'll sign it or not. If he does, the last holdout in the Northeast will be Rhode Island. Oh my, who'd have thunk it, right? Who'd have thought? But on the other hand, sure, why not? The hotbed of revolutionary, ideals and thought and activity during our break from the mother country. Obviously that attitude of independence from the pervasive sickness in this country of denying people their constitutional rights because they happen to be gay, just didn't hold, doesn't hold in the Northeast. Obviously didn't hold in Iowa either. California, go figure. I have no idea. I guess there's so many Catholics in California now, they're afraid that God will get very pissed off and make fires burn all over Southern California if they vote for the gay thing. The truth is that fires are burning all over California now, and they voted for the not gay thing. Go figure, right? Huh? Huh? Maine is now the fourth state in the Northeast to enact to pass the legality of same-sex marriages. If you're a regular listener to this program, you know that this issue shouldn't be an issue at all. We have a situation in Afghanistan and Pakistan, both countries that are just on the verge of complete collapse. Hundreds of people are being blown to pieces by U.S. military drone aircraft. And here we sit back in the United States deciding whether or not, or being forced to decide whether or not all of our citizens should have the right to form contracts. Contracts. You know, marriage contracts. Nothing about religion has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with the state sanctioning a contract between two people. That's all. Two people who, what's the expression, plight their troth. But once again, the religious crazies in the United States of America just can't seem to understand that the Constitution declares that denying people the right to form a contract based on their what? I hate to use the term sexual orientation, because that just is very misleading, but let's use it. Denying people the right to form contracts based on their sexual orientation is like, unconstitutional. You know, it doesn't make any difference what Jesus or God says, and Jesus never said anything about it, and God, only if you believe what the freaky people back thousands of years ago wrote down, this is what God said. Oh, really? Yes. How do you know? It came to me in a dream. He whispered in my ear. Oh, okay, okay. I'm not arguing, man. I'm not arguing. Write it down. Ooh, man. But for this to be an issue is beyond crazy, isn't it? I mean, isn't it? You know what the real kicker is? Two of the prominent names that are being bandied about as a possible replacement for a nominee, anyway, for David Souter, Supreme Court Justice David Souter. Two of the names being bandied about are the names of two gay women who are jurists who are very well qualified to. Wouldn't that drive Clarence Thomas right into his crawl space and make him just, you know, Oh, I'd love to see that happen. I'd love to see that happen. Wouldn't you? Of course you would. Yesterday, flanked by leaders of Afghanistan and Pakistan, President Barack Obama expressed deep U.S. regret for civilian casualties in yet another act of mass murder this week in western Afghanistan. Regret. No, regret is when you can't attend a party, you know, where it says on the invitation, regrets only. You've gotten those invitations, right? Nobody knows what RSVP means anymore, so or doesn't respond. So people will send out invitations if they want everybody to come, just put regrets only. That's what regrets are about, Mr. President. When you're the commander in chief and your military is slaughtering civilians, you don't express regrets. You hang your head in shame. And you get your goddamn military out of the country that's committing the murder. It's very simple. We have no objective whatsoever in Afghanistan. We have no objective whatsoever in Pakistan. If we are intent in finding the elusive, Osama. I've forgotten his name. I'm like George Bush. I don't know his name. He's in a cave somewhere smoking out. If we are intent on smoking out or capturing Osama bin Laden, why not send in 8 or 10 special forces types and just kind of give them the mission and then go home? And if it's done right and the right 10 or 12 special forces people are given the assignment, the job will get done. I mean, come on. But no, Barack Obama is going to increase the number of civilians and children, scores of children. What is it about the Israeli military and the U.S. military and the terrorists, the Taliban, and the Al-Qaeda nutballs? What is it about these four groups, Israel, U.S., Taliban, Al-Qaeda, that they have no problem in butchering children? I'm serious. What is that? And then invent terms.
Collateral damage. Well, you know, the terrorists were hiding among the civilian population. We didn't have any choice.
What is that? How many people have been murdered by NATO forces, which translates really into U.S. forces? How many people have been murdered? And that's what it is. It is premeditated murder. How many people have been murdered? Thousands. Thousands. Since we invaded Afghanistan 8 years ago. Was it 8? Or was it only 7? I guess it was only 7. Or was that Iraq? No, wait. Iraq was 2003. Afghanistan was 2002. Okay. 7 and 6? Is that right? It's hard to keep track, isn't it? Does nobody on a policy-making level in the Barack Obama administration understand that in the continuing murder of the children of people living in tribal areas in Afghanistan and Pakistan, that this continuing murder guarantees that for the next several centuries, the families and descendants of these murdered children will seek, justifiably, revenge. What would you do, truth seeker, if an invading force came into your country and slaughtered all the children in your toddler's school? What would you do? Would you sit back and turn on the telly and wait for the leader of that country to say, "Well, we express regrets, deepest regrets. We didn't mean any of that to happen. We really didn't." Would you do that?
The child lay in the starlit night, safe in the glow of his dark light. How strange to choose to end a life. How strange to choose to kill a child. Hoover, Blaupunk, Nissan, Jeep, Nike, Adidas, Lacoste, and cheaper brands. Cadillac, Amtrak, gasoline, diesel, a standard of living. Could this be a reason
that we would choose to kill a child?
Where is the outrage? Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
Yeah, outrage. Yeah. 10 before the article. Yeah, so expressing a 10 before the hour. But the word article popped up here on this sheet of paper. That's my excuse. What time is it? Are we near a bathroom? It's hell getting old. It really is. So anyway, the United States and Afghanistan and Pakistan, the presidents or leaders or puppets from all three countries sat together the other day and talked about how terrible it is that the U.S. military has to continue to slaughter innocent people, especially children, by the dozens, by the scores, by the hundreds, apparently. It just has to be done. It just has to be done. And the president and our Secretary of State and our veteran diplomat to the area, Richard Holbrooke. So it was Barack Obama, Richard Holbrooke, and Hillary Clinton all expressed terrible, terrible regrets. We are so sorry. We are so sorry. But, of course, it's going to continue. It's going to continue. I wonder if Hillary Clinton would have accepted the bombing into bloody stumps of her daughter. I wonder if any of these people would, how would Barack Obama feel about his two little girls being blown to pieces by an invading army and then having the leader of that invading nation come, you know, come out on the telly and say, "Oh, we really regret this, but, you know, collateral damage, you know, war is hell, things go wrong. Sorry, we'll send you a check for, how many kids you lose? Two? Okay, we'll send you a check for $10,000. That's $5,000 apiece. My God, here in this hellhole that used to be the United States, $5,000, that's 10 years worth of, you know, that sort of thing. Obama's National Security Advisor, General Jim Jones, you like that? Told reporters that the president began his meeting with Hamid Karzai, that's the Afghan dude, by addressing reports that dozens of civilians had been killed by American bombs on Sunday, the Lord's Day. Ooh, really? Well, not over there. General Jones said Obama commented, quote, "with great sympathy," end quote, and expressed regret for the loss of innocent life. Earlier, before her meetings with Karzai and Qadari, Asif Zardari, the Pakistani president, Zardari. Before her meeting with Karzai and Zardari, Hillary Clinton said the U.S., quote, "deeply, deeply," end quote, "regrets the losses." Oh, well then, everything's okay. Everything's okay. Will that message get to the moms in some village in the Swat Valley or the Snot Valley or the Goofball Valley, whatever the hell the place is, the names that have been attached by the invaders? Will the moms and the dads and the uncles and the aunts in those places where the homes are now leveled, kind of like the homes in Gaza and the occupied territories in Israel, and, you know, dead children by the scores, by the dozens, by the hundreds, you know, their little bodies laid out somewhere. Will word get to the moms that the U.S. deeply regrets? We are so sorry. Honest to God. What can I say? You know, when you're manning a drone from 8,000 miles away and you pull the trigger, or push the mouse or activate the button, you never know. You know, we're sorry, but it has to continue. Obama told Hamid Karzai, oh, by the way, Obama and Clinton both stopped short of accepting U.S. blame for the deaths. They deeply regret the losses, but when asked directly, do you take response? Well, now, hold on just a minute. Don't go too far. Obama and Clinton wouldn't accept blame for the deaths. But Obama did tell Karzai that investigations, quote, will be pursued aggressively with full intent to discover what in fact did happen, how it happened, and how we can make sure things like this do not happen again. Karzai, for his part, did not ask that U.S. airstrikes be suspended or reduced in intensity. No, why would he? He's a former UNICAL lobbyist. Oil company lobbyist who is now the president of his own country. Isn't that kind of cool? Nor did Zardari raise an equally sensitive topic on his side of the border, the use of U.S. Predator aircraft to attack, you know, extremist targets. General Jim Jones said that it didn't even come up. Now, as you know, Pakistanis have strongly protested those attacks, saying they too have killed innocent civilians and an inordinate number of little kids who were doing things like playing outside in the stones. But all is forgiven. Veteran diplomat Richard Holbrooke, Obama's point man for Afghanistan and Pakistan and a participant in the meetings, was upbeat in brief remarks after Obama summarized the day's talks. Mr. Holbrooke said, quote, it was a day that exceeded our expectations. We turned a corner in improving coordination, end quote. Well, Hillary Clinton said, quote, I'm very optimistic that this process, what we're doing there, is making a difference. Well, see, we don't care. You and I really don't care. We can sit here on this little half-assed talk radio show and think about it, but we don't care. We don't care. No. I understand. We say we care. Yeah, and if you think about this too long, you'll do one of two things. You'll feel terrible or you'll turn off your radio. You'll say, no, I'm not going to listen to that jackass. I've had enough of this. Let's talk about the Edwards family and how that bastard cheated on her. Yeah. But, you know, the bottom line with all this is we don't care enough.
to the story in your eyes. It's been shining down upon me now. Feel alive.
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. The phones are open. Get in here and join us if you like. 877-996-2556 is the number. 877-996-2556. I'd like to hear what you've got to say about some of the stuff we've been talking about tonight. Email here from Andre regarding the report from the Department of Homeland Security that suggested that domestic terrorists might be... what's the word I want to use? Domestic terrorists might be proselytized from the ranks of returning soldiers. Is that the right way to use that word? Andre writes, imagine a soldier, who has shot and killed old men, women, children, anyone, broken down doors, interrogated people, has run from explosions and bullets, perhaps knowing that it is all for nothing and perhaps asking why. And then someone whispers in their ear that what they did was right, that it was God's wish to kill the Muslims, to save Christianity, to save the United States. Wouldn't it be logical that a soldier would want to hear that, that it wasn't all in vain, that there was a reason for the unreasonable? Yeah, well, that's what this report, in a very dispassionate way, until the right-wing crazy bastards in this country got a hold of it, that's what they were trying to say. You know, the Southern Poverty Law Center over here in Alabama keeps track of these hate groups and skinhead groups and neo-Nazi groups and like the groups that recruited and indoctrinated Timothy McVeigh. Go to Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC.org, I think, or do a Google on it, and read the latest information that they put out about these hate groups. And, you know, for any of us who are rational or clinging to what still remains of normalcy in this country, for any of us to think that there is not a strong underground of this filth, these vermin that operate in this country, is to pretend like, there are leprechauns in pots of gold at the end of the rainbow. They're very active. Jesus, I should know. They are the reason I carry a gun when I leave this house. They're very active in the United States. They always have been. They operate in the shadows. They, their one claim to fame was when they executed or murdered Alan Berg, Denver talk show host, about 25 years ago. They are cowards. They're creatures of the night. They're like worms and things that when you turn up a rock, they go. But these are the types of organizations that can spot someone who is on the verge of violence because they are. Only they are cowards. Like I said, they would no more put on the uniform and go kill for the country or for corporate America or the flag or whatever whatever the rationale is now, then they would fly to the moon. But when real combat veterans come back, who are dazed and confused, who are lost, who are suffering from PTSD, as everyone who goes into a combat zone actually is when they return. It's only how long will they deal with the PTSD, not whether or not they are suffering from it. And these vermin, these vultures are waiting. They know. You know, they know who is coming back. Word gets around in communities very quickly. And then they go for them. And then they use them. Here's a way to get even, brother. Hey, there's a church over here in Birmingham. You want to blow it up? There's a federal building out here in Oklahoma City. It's just full of these government agents. Want to blow it up? It's really scary stuff. Our threats are not from outside this country. They really aren't. And if you think that the proof of that is in the attack of September 11, 2001. You are totally deluded, or if not deluded, just unwilling to face up to the fact that that attack on the United States, it resulted in 3,000 people dying, was a direct result of the incompetence and the treachery of the Bush crime family. 19 people, Jesus Christ, coming to this country with box cutters and documents and defeating the most expensive, all-powerful, and extensive national security and military system in the history of the human race. Box cutters? Ah. Okay. Phone calls. Who is this? This is David in Bakersfield. David, welcome to the program.
How are you doing, Mr. Malloy?
I'm doing fine. Uh-oh, I can tell right away you're going to be a wingnut, right? I knew it! I knew it!
A wingnut?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe wingnut.
All right. What do you got?
I am a conservative, and I do believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't know if that makes me a wingnut or not, but...
Oh, stop. What are you calling me about? Come on, David.
Well, I just wanted to call, and because I hear you complaining about the children that are getting killed over there in Afghanistan, which is, you know, a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering, because I just came across your program, were you just as outraged about all the innocent lives that were lost when they came over here?
Oh, sure. Any time the government of the United States acts in a manner that results in 3,000 people in America being killed, murdered, yeah, of course I was. Weren't you just listening on when you were on hold?
Yeah, I caught that. But
yeah, okay.
I believe it was, you know, Clinton did let Obama, Obama, didn't let go four times, you know that.
No, he didn't. And what about, no, Clinton?
Oh, he didn't.
No, Clinton captured, arrested, tried, convicted, and jailed the first group that attacked the World Trade Center. It was your boy, George W. Bush, who allowed all of this to go on. And your other boy, Dick Cheney, this mad, blood-sucking freak. Come on, David. You sound like you have the potential to be a normal human being. Why are you calling my program with stuff that is absolute nonsense? Why are you doing that?
Well, I just want to know what your opinion was.
Well, you know what my opinion is. You're a regular listener. Don't pretend like you've never heard the program. You're a regular listener. You tune in as often as you can. Don't play that kind of head game with me.
I do listen to your program.
Well, you just said a few minutes ago you happened to hear it.
About 2 weeks ago.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I'll tell you what, David. We got a poor connection on your phone, and I just don't want to talk about this nonsense. All right. Call me some other time. Try to straighten yourself out. Honest to God, please try to straighten yourself out, okay? Bill Clinton let Obama escape four times. And, you know, it just staggers the mind that somebody would call this program or have that belief in their head. And I don't like to play games with these people, like asking a question of, well, what reason would Bill Clinton have had for murdering Osama bin Laden to begin with? What? His family were business partners of the Bush family for decades. They shared their fortunes. And why would Clinton want to kill Osama bin Laden? Osama bin Laden hadn't done anything to the United States in 1994, 1995, 1996, 1997, 1998, 1999, or 2000. It was in 2001, after George W. Bush and his nest of vampires took over the country, that, in your belief system, Osama bin Laden attacked the United States. I don't know. I just... Oh, never mind.
Cyanide each and every verse. I see the Carlisle Group and Harris bank accounts. I see them plead the fifth each and every session now. Cause America's been took, it's plain to see. The oldest trick in the book is make an enemy. A phony evil so the government can do its dirt and take away your freedom, lock and load, beat and search. Oil, blood, money make these killers ride cold. Suspicious suicide, people dying never told. It's all a part of playing God, so you think we need them. While being Ashcroft, take away your rights to freedom. Bear witness to the sickness of these dictators. Hope you understand the time, brother, cause it's major.
Before the hour, Reg writes, tell Dave to Google Bin Laden ties, and they're not talking about neckwear. If he wants documented facts and not the nonsense he swallowed, maybe we can save him. Bin Laden ties. If you're still listening, Dave, and you have the courage to do it, go ahead and do it. He won't, Reg. People who are fed a steady diet of dog droppings freak out when somebody says, here, you want some real food? Oh, Lord. Back to your calls. Dan is calling from Washington State, listening on XM. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I listen to you all the time.
You're an over the road trucker, right?
Well, I used to be over the road, but now I'm a regional. I do Walmart.
Ah, okay.
And I'm not a Walmart driver, but I deliver groceries to the Walmart supercenters in the Pacific Northwest.
I got you. So you got a lot of time on the road.
Exactly, and I love listening to you. I love your passion, your dedication, and your truth.
Well, that's very kind. Thank you.
And I call because people talk about a class war, and you know that we, the people, lost the war. We lost it back in the 70s. We lost it to the minority. And the minority happens to be those who have pockets full of money that bought our politicians.
Yeah.
The only way we're going to take our country back is that we, the people, have an amendment to the Constitution that reforms campaigns so that they're not funded by the class that has taken over. They're funded by we the people.
Well, you're absolutely right. The key to everything right now, Dan, is campaign finance, not reform, but a complete blowing up of the old system and a new one that denies any kind of corporate money, any kind of bundling funds where, you know, some of these corporations, what they'll do, since it's illegal, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, for corporations to contribute money, they'll just tell all their employees to come up with $10, bundle it, and send it in.
Yeah. How do we get our fair justice when the politicians are owned by the minority, the wealthy?
Yeah. Well, we don't. We don't get justice. We don't get fairness. How to change it? I don't know. You know what Thomas Jefferson said. I'm sure you learned it in high school just like I did when he said the tree of liberty has to be nourished occasionally with the blood of tyrants and patriots. I don't know if he was advocating more revolution, but he was pretty clear. Jefferson also warned against the idea of corporations, too. Way back in the 18th century, they were talking about the destructive power of corporations. Hey, listen, the static is just getting out of, static is getting out of hand, on your call there, Dan, and I just inadvertently hung up on somebody else. So if you were on hold and I hung up on you, call back. I'd like to hear what you got to say. Dan, thanks for checking in, pal. I don't know where all that noise is coming from. It sounded like you were in the middle of a rainstorm or something. Nah, that couldn't be. William is calling from Asheville, North Carolina, listening on Sirius. Hey, William.
Hey, Mike, how you doing this evening?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing so well. You know, just really enjoying hearing the discussions.
Well, but good.
I had a comment to, and this is not just to, I think it's Dave, but to all of those that call themselves Christian. As I understand the teachings, we are to learn to love our neighbor as thyself and to love and feed thine enemies. And so when I hear these people call and speak with such venom in their voice about their brother, Barack Obama,
right,
you know, and this who has been chosen by the majority of the people, but also by this God that they speak of, to lead and guide us into a new time. And they are not acting in a way that they should, in my opinion, refer to themselves in a Christ way.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. The also the ones who have no problem with the killing of children, you know, Jesus gave what, 3 sermons, maybe 4, and one of those included, so we're told in the Bible, included the admonition that one should suffer the little children to come unto him because such was the kingdom of heaven. Now, granted, he was speaking metaphorically, one assumes, but the particular Christians that are so bloodthirsty are the ones that see the Bible as inerrant, that everything in it is absolutely the word of God. And if that's the case, then to murder children for any reason is to defile their own God, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I give thanks for you bringing that into the light, because this is a line, and you either stand on the side of truth or you stand on the side of I make it up to fit what I want.
Yeah, that's the shame of this. Hey, I got to leave there. William, thank you. I appreciate what you had to say. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The devil must have his doom. As for the weapons of Uncle Sam, the smallpox Indian blankets, the bombs that beat Japan. Bless the cops and prisons that make us free. This land was made for me, 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 and the rest of the world be down.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
It is just about 25 before the hour. Email here from Jan in Oregon, Wisconsin, who writes, Mike, I always wanted to ask these people, like Dave, the Jesus follower, how does Jesus feel about lies, deception, greed, murder, hatred, misogyny, prejudice, and willful stupidity? He's against it? Well then, why are you a conservative? It's people like Dave that turned me away from religion, just as it's people like him that drove me away from any idea that I could have any decent dialogue with conservatives. Pardon my French, but to hell with them. Jan. Yeah. I guess what, you know, I was brought up in a fairly religious, milieu when I was a kid. Not that my parents were into that so much, but they made sure that all of us, my brothers and sister and I, went to Sunday school and church and all that nonsense. But it was watching the people in the role of religious leaders, locally first, and then looking at them globally, that I came to realize that, or came to question, the whole construct. And then, you know, damned education, you know, once I got into, not necessarily higher education, hell no, just high school science classes, started to question biology, evolution, you know, said, wait, you know, everybody's got their story. Ben is calling from Fayetteville, Arkansas, listening on Sirius. Ben, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Just noticed you were talking to a previous caller about getting the wealthy people out of politics.
Yeah.
And funding it. Well, curious, is that going to include both sides? I mean, is that going to include getting Oprah and Jay Leno to put supporting candidates on the air?
You
donating millions of dollars worth of airtime?
Have I gotten another right winger here? What is with you people that you can't seem to understand English? What is it that makes you feel inspired to call this program and ask me half-assed questions like that? When I talk about getting money out of politics, that's pretty clear. It's a very simple declarative sentence. What is wrong with you people? Do you just by nature want to be jackasses and you know, interrupt somebody's radio program with a half-witted question like that? Oprah's money? Oprah who? Jay Leno's money? Are you out of your goddamn mind? Jay Leno is one of the biggest conservatives in Hollywood. I mean, what is wrong with you? Can you not call, if you are going to call a radio program, that you hear where issues are being discussed, where statements are being made, why do you have to call with a dumbass question like that? What is wrong with you people? I would prefer that you not call. I really would. You know, I've said for the better part of 20 years, if ever, ever, and I think it's happened maybe once or twice, I could get a call from someone who declares himself a conservative or a right winger or a Republican or however you want to define yourself. But, you know, on the other side of the aisle, that can just put together coherent thought. Or carry on a conversation, or, you know, not start out with, well, do you think Oprah Winfrey's money ought to be gone? Well, how many times did Bill Clinton let Obama, what's his name? Not Obama, let Osama bin Laden slip away, huh? How many times, eh? Can't you people get past that? No. You obviously cannot. So that you know, that's why I say I just wish you know, go do something else. I mean, why me? Call Tom Hartman. He's on during the day. Call Tom. Tom likes to turn you people inside out. I just wish you would all go away. But you know, call the Tom Hartman program. You can hear him on XM Sirius. You can hear him various radio stations around the country. He's a very bright man. And he is willing to play with you. Of course, when he's finished with you, all of a sudden you look around and your ass is missing and your arms are gone. And you've gotten a buzz haircut. And Hartman does this without even breathing hard. So call Hartman. He likes to get calls like that. I find them, frankly, kind of, they define dumbassery, and if there's anything I really don't like, it's dumbassery. I just don't have the time or the inclination to flip you people, and Hartman does, bless his heart. That's why I enjoy listening to Hartman's program, because he turns these people into pretzels until they wind up, they don't know which door they came in, and they have no idea how to get out when Hartman's finished with them. It's real funny. So do that, pal. Call Hartman. He'll play with you. Bill is calling from Allentown, PA, listening on Sirius. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
It's moving right along.
Yeah, you know what? Tom's birthday is today.
Say it again?
Tom's birthday is today.
A Hartman? Really?
Yeah.
Today Thursday or today Friday?
Today Thursday.
Okay, because...
What I wanted to talk about was...
Yeah, go ahead. Did you... Hey, listen, if you call him tomorrow, just say Malloy said happy birthday, all right?
I'm not a right winger.
No, Hartman. If,
oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah, if you call Hartman tomorrow, just say, hey, Malloy said happy birthday.
Okay.
Because I don't have his number. I have no idea how to get in touch with him.
Oh, okay. Well, it's on his website.
Oh, okay. All right, Bill, but the real reason you called, I'm sorry. I'm just, you know, these last couple of phone calls have left me kind of, you know, spinning.
Yeah, me too. I was trying to keep from crying that last phone call.
Oh.
From laughing. but anyway, when you read Elaine's email earlier,
yeah,
Elaine from the Poconos, I'm just a little bit south of there.
Oh, really?
And part of my family is nice right wing. and I'll be running into them on Sunday.
Oh yeah,
being Mother's Day. Yeah, my sister's kind of on Easter. My sister was Obama the socialist. You know.
Yeah,
I got into a fight with her like, you know, the way you get into fights with conservatives.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, and then she didn't want to hear it.
Right.
You know, I just said to her, I said, you know, how come Obama is a socialist when he's, you know, doing a lot of the same things that you know, carrying along the same things, some of the same things that Bush was.
Right.
You know? And, well, you know, it's like, she don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've had family members, the same thing. They're not paying very close attention, and their brains are being saturated by this right wing drivel. And yeah, they just kind of spout it back. But, you know, it is family, and maybe the best thing to do. I realize you didn't call me for advice. This is not the, this is not the Oprah show.
No,
best thing probably when you have get-togethers, especially Mother's Day, just kind of smile and say, hey, listen, no politics. Let's just talk about how wonderful Mom is. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
I guess that's the way to do it. All right.
Go ahead,
Bill.
Have a good night.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in, Bill. Take care. You know who hasn't called the program for a long time is AJ the Music Factory from upstate New York. Poconos, of course, in PA, but upstate New York. Douglas is calling from Sacramento, California, listening on Sirius. Hey, Douglas.
Yes, I am. Good to talk to you again. Hey, Mike.
My pleasure.
Mine too. I'm getting over a cold, but I'm hanging in there.
Yeah? Good.
When you mentioned Thomas Jefferson, you reminded me of something, and it kind of spooks me when I think of it. Our country got its start not from protesting taxes, but protesting corporate power and privilege. The whole mm-hmm. Boston Tea Party thing was about the East India Company getting tax breaks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
And I got, you know, the spooky part for me is I got all the way through grade school and junior high and high school, you know, mandatory history and civics, and I never heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow it just, you know, slipped through the cracks.
Yeah, they just forgot to mention, you know, after all, these guys that put the United States together were... hold on to your butt. Revolutionaries! Mm-hmm. they actually believed in overthrowing oppressive, foreign governments who told them, no, you're gonna do it our way or the highway. And they said, oh no, we're not. And we will kill your soldiers when they come over here. We're taught about the Redcoats and Paul Revere and two arms, the British are coming, but it takes our poets to tell us that.
The real power was the East India Company.
There you go.
That's who was pushing King George, and nobody mentions that.
Yeah, well, very few Americans understand American history, and I think anyone who is, spends any time in this country or with Americans understands it. Douglas, thank you. I got a boogie. Thanks. Appreciate you checking in. Hey, listen to this, Kathy. I've got three or four emails here. Apparently, Tom Hartman's mom passed away, and he's off the air for a couple of days. His mother died last Friday, and he went back home to Michigan to attend her funeral. He won't return until Monday coming. And Donald in Augusta wrote this. Just thought you might want to know. A whole bunch of people have sent this in. Mike in Golden, Colorado, and who else? Malachi in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and... who else? Well, a bunch of folks. Well, our condolences to Tom and his whole family. He's a good guy, and I know what that's like, trust me, about going through your mother's death. We'll be back after the break.
Thank you.
It is 10 before the hour. Thanks to the crew again tonight. The program was engineered by Kathy Bay, technically advised by Ben Burt. Sharon Gordy is our military affairs correspondent. Bruce Enberg, economic affairs correspondent. Bob Alexander and Bridget Wuth, ethical advisors, and the executive producer also is Kathy Bay. Back to your calls. Kurt is calling from Atlanta, listening on XM. Hey, Kurt.
Hey. Last time I talked to you, I think it was about 10 years ago, back when you were on WSB.
Oh, my God, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It'd be longer than that. It'd have to be back probably in 94.
I was going to say 93.
Yeah, 93, 94 is, that's shortly after the election, that year. I got fired by WSB so they could put, Dr. Laura in my place. So it's been a long time since.
You got dissed. That's all I know how to say it.
I got removed.
Okay, removed. But the reason for my call was, I'm going to try and tie the neo-Nazism and the Arab extremist together a little bit. And again, I'm going to fumble this a little bit, but the reason we have nobody to blame but ourselves for the ire that the Arab world has against us.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
You know, British Petroleum once. The democratically elected president of Iran back in, I think it was 1954.
Yeah, 53. He
decided that he was going to take the country's oil business.
Right. Well, yeah, we have left a big bloody footprint all over the Middle East, not to mention our decision to be completely one-sided where it concerned the Israeli-Palestinian issue. Kurt, you're breaking up horribly. Go ahead, say something.
I've got a really bad connection. I'm on a cell phone and I apologize.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're okay now. Go ahead.
Okay. But BP went to President Truman and, tried to, him to agree to help them overthrow the government. And Truman was having nothing of it.
Right.
And then, of course, Eisenhower bought it hook, line, and sinker because of the communist phobia that was going on in the country at the time. And, we staged a coup. And proudly presented them Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, who, makes Saddam Hussein look like Mother Teresa.
Yeah, we did. Right after we put him in power, we also sent over the CIA to help set up the Iranian secret police, the Savak.
Yeah.
That spent the next 25 years torturing their own people, kind of like George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Absolutely. And, these people have nothing. They have absolutely nothing. But what one thing they do have is time, and the revenge factor is, they've got all day long to do this. And
right, Kurt, you're really breaking up kind of badly. We're going to have to talk again some other time because it's really breaking up bad. But I get the point of what you're saying. And we have talked about the history of the Middle East on this program. So many Americans are just completely blotto. They don't have a clue about any of this stuff. In the first place, they also don't understand that practically every country in the Middle East was formed not by tribal or geographical boundaries, traditional boundaries. These countries were constructed. There was no such thing as Jordan. There was no such thing as Kuwait. There was no such thing as Iraq. There was no such thing as Israel. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. These countries were put together. Borders were declared to satisfy, for the most part, European desire to own the resources in the Middle East. It was colonialism. It was stepping into the vacuum at the end of World War I when the Ottoman Empire disappeared. But so few of the people in our country who contribute their sons and daughters now to the slaughter, who have long contributed our tax money to the slaughter, who provide the weaponry for so many different factions in the Middle East to kill each other. I mean, the blood of so many people. This is a part that if you stop long enough and think about this stuff, you'll start to get very, very sick when we're only talking about the Middle East. I mean, when you stop and think, how many dead Syrians, Jordanians, Israelis, Egyptians, Lebanese, Iraqis, Kuwaitis, Iranians, keep going. How many of those dead are dead because they were killed with weaponry made in the United States and paid for by U.S. taxpayers and shipped over there? It's astonishing. It's just astonishing. And we sit here in the United States, or we have for the past 50, 60 years, bitching and complaining about the price of gasoline or the price of oil. It boggles the mind. It really does. It just boggles the mind, doesn't it? I wonder if we'll ever escape our willful ignorance. I really do. I wonder that sometimes. Hey, listen, thanks for dropping in tonight. Thanks for hanging out. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.